was obviously warped. Grant stared at the damaged mirror inside its protective casing. Not protective enough, he knew. "Why'd you have to crack?" he asked the impassive mirror. "Why'd you have to ruin all our work?" "How are we going to get this puppy back into the lab?" his companion asked. Grant had to concentrate for a moment to remember which of his crew was with him. The bulky spacesuits removed all traces of individuality. If you weren't close enough to read the name stenciled on the torso, you couldn't recognize who was inside the suit. "She checked you out in your suit, for Christ's sakes," Grant berated himself. "Are you getting early-onset Alzheimer's?" Then he remembered. Josie Rivera. Smoky Joe. Good-looking Latina. Sharp engineer. Bosomy and friendly. Especially after a couple of drinks. With a pang, Grant realized that it had been months since he'd gotten laid. He hadn't even thought much about sex lately. A side effect of his medications, he wondered. "It doesn't go back into the lab," Grant replied. "Not yet. Not until we finish the mirror we're working on now."
"So we just leave it out here?"
Shaking his head inside the helmet, Grant said, "We build a roof over it, protect it from temperature swings and micrometeorite abrasion. I'll have to requisition the honeycomb sheets, then you and Harvey Henderson's gang can put 'em up."
"Hurry up, Harvey."
Josie sounded a little resentful, Grant thought. Nobody likes working outside unless they really have to. He knew what was going through her mind. "The damned mirror's ruined. What's the sense of putting up a protective roof when we're just going to melt the thing down and start all over again with it?" He said to her, "The ulcer's thinking about using nanomachines to build a new mirror."
"Nanos, really?"
"That administrator of his, McClintock? He's talking about it with Dr. Cardenas back at Solini."
"Could it work?" Josie asked.
Grant knew better than to try to shrug inside the bulky suit. "Cardenas seems to think so."
"Well, she would, wouldn't she?"
"Yeah, I guess so." Grant started pacing around the mirror's edge. It was still mounted on the transporter, clamped rigidly in place. Not rigidly enough, he told himself, otherwise it wouldn't have cracked. To Josie, he said, "I want you to take snaps of the ground along the perimeter of the mirror, so Henderson and his guys have a full picture of the ground out here. They'll need to build a foundation for the roof."
"I'll have to go in and get a camera," she said.
Shaking his head, Grant said, "I'll tell the controller to get somebody to put a camera in the airlock. All you'll have to do is step in and pick it up."
"Okay."
Still pacing along the edges of the mirror, Grant called in to the controller for a camera. Once the controller told him that the camera had been placed on the airlock's floor, he told Josie to pop in and get it. She came back with the credit card-sized camera engulfed in one gloved hand.
"You want me to take your picture, boss?"
Before Grant could reply, Josie added, "Give the guys inside an idea of the scale."
"Sure," he said.
"Why the hell not?" So he stood beside the mirror while Josie snapped several images of him. "Better take shots of the transporter's wheels, too," he suggested. "Get close enough to see if any of them cracked or bent." Josie got busy and Grant felt unneeded, but he hesitated to go inside and leave her alone. He knew that subatomic particles from the distant stars were machine-gunning him. His suit protected him from most of them, but there were always some extra-energetic ones that got through and burrowed into the atoms of his body, killing cells or mutating them. He started to feel almost naked beneath their constant, deadly, invisible rain.
"What do you think of the ulcer's assistant?" Josie asked as she made her way slowly around the mirror's perimeter.
"You mean McClintock?"
"Yeah. He's good-looking, don't you think?"
Sourly, Grant answered. "Another layer of management. The ulcer's enlarging his domain."
"He's supposed to be some kind of efficiency expert, isn't he?"
"Management specialist, I think. He's like a consultant. You know, a guy who doesn't know anything more than you do, but he comes from more than 50 clicks away and carries a briefcase." She didn't laugh.
"Why'd the ulcer hire him?"
"Somebody else to blame when we hit a problem," Grant snapped. Then he relented a bit. "The ulcer's hell-bent on getting the first imagery from New Earth. He wants to beat the IAA and get a Nobel Prize."
"You think?
What else?"
"Well, I hope the guy knows what he's doing."
"He talked the ulcer into considering nanotechnology," Grant admitted.
McClintock talked to him for 5 minutes, and now we're working with Cardenas and the nanotech lab. He heard Josie chuckle. The Ulster's willing to take any shortcuts he can find, isn't he?
Could be, Grant agreed. Could damned well be.
The excursion controller's voice sounded in his helmet speakers. Grant, we have an urgent call for you. I'm patching it through. On Freak 2.
Grant raised his left arm and tapped the keyboard on his wrist for frequency number 2. Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed Josie doing the same. She wants to hear what's going on, he realized.
McClintock's voice snapped. Grant, what are you doing out there?
Cripes, Grant thought. Has he been listening to our chatter?
We're checking out the damaged mirror. Have to build a shield over it until we can get it back inside the lab. He suppressed an impulse to add, Sir. Well, I need you to get over to Cellini and confer with Dr. Cardenas. A resupply lobber's on its way here, and I want you on it when it heads back to Cellini.
Okay. As soon as we're finished here.
Now, Simpson. Now. That lobber will be landing in half an hour, and it's not going to wait for you. But get somebody else to finish your little excursion. You get yourself ready for a shot back to Cellini.
Right, said Grant.
Spaceport. Grant called Hurry Up Harvey and told him to suit up and join Josie at the mirror. Then he ducked back inside and began to peel out of his spacesuit.
Josie'll be okay out there on her own for a half hour or so, he told himself.
By the time he'd showered and changed into a fresh set of coveralls, Henderson was suited up and entering the airlock. The lobber was still offloading its cargo when Grant got to Farside's one-pad spaceport, toting his soft-sided overnight bag. Through the glass-steel viewing port, Grant saw the squat, conical spacecraft, its dark diamond structure glittering in the lights that surrounded the blast-blackened concrete landing pad. To his surprise, the newbie was at the spaceport's pocket-sized waiting area, standing at the viewing port, her nose practically pressed against the glass steel.
What's her name? Grant asked himself.
Yost, he recalled.
Trudy Yost.
Hello, he said. She jumped as if somebody had swung an axe at her. Turning, she relaxed and replied,
Oh, hello, Mr. Simpson.
Grant thought he heard a slight accent on the mister. He tried to smile at her. I guess I was kind of abrupt when we met. I'm sorry. She immediately brightened.
That's okay. You must have a lot of responsibilities.
Sort of, he said. A moment of awkward silence, and then they both said, What are you doing here? Trudy broke into a giggle, and Grant laughed with her. Before she could ask again, he hefted his bag and said, I'm heading back to Cellini once the lobber finishes offloading.
You're leaving Farside?
Only for a day or so. I'll be back.
Good,
said Trudy. And you?
Me?
Why are you here?
Oh!
She seemed genuinely surprised at his question.
The lobber's bringing a new batch of antennas for the Cyclops array. Professor Ulrich asked me to make sure they get transported to the site okay.
Asked? Grant questioned. The ulcer asked you to? Trudy admitted.
Well, it was really more like a command.
That sounds more like the ulcer.
You really shouldn't call him that, she said.
No, I suppose I shouldn't. Again a silence settled between them. Feeling uncomfortable, Grant said, I didn't realize you were a radio astronomer.
I'm not, Trudy said. My specialty is optical and infrared.
Before he could ask, she explained.
I'm just supervising the antenna delivery because the professor asked me.
She broke into a half-hearted grin.
Told me to, she amended.
Grant nodded and turned back to the window. The lobber's crew seemed finished with their offloading. Both of Farside's tractors were piled high with cargo containers. The first one of them started trundling slowly away from the launch pad. In a small voice, Trudy asked,
Does he really give people ulcers?
No, said Grant. Migraines.
Oh, come on, Trudy objected. What's he really like? Really?
You'll find out. Trudy frowned slightly.
He's sort of weird in a way, isn't he?
What do you mean? Obviously ill at ease, Trudy said.
The way he looks at a person, staring the way he does, like he's looking right through me.
You mean you don't know?
Know what?
He's blind. Totally blind. Trudy looked shocked.
Some accident back Earthside. Burned out his retinas.